Good morning, North America. Welcome to Church Talk TV, lively talk about life, church, and church life. I'm your co-host, Dr. Bill Tenney-Britton, and I'm joined, as usual, by my co-host, Dr. Chris Tenney-Britton, and we're broadcasting from our studio in Columbia, Missouri, the heartland of America. Say good morning, Chris.
Good morning, and welcome to Church Talk TV.
Chris and Bill Tenney-Britton here today to talk about Visitor Retention 101. Hey, it's coming up on Easter, so visitor retention is huge, but let me be honest, visitor retention is huge all the time.
Every Sunday. Yeah, right? Really, it is. If you don't if you don't keep your members or your visitors,
don't keep your members
you won't
either.
Get any members, exactly. If you don't keep your visitors, you won't get any members. And guess what? If you don't get new members, you're going to have people dying and leaving and blah, 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 and you won't have anybody. So all the more reason, we talk about getting visitors. That's another topic for another day, but we want to help you get better at or just start keeping your visitors.
Here's the reality is it, almost every church across the U.S., not every church.
Not
you might be an exception, but almost every church gets a visitor once in a while.
Every now and again.
You know, they just, it's what's the saying? Even a blind squirrel finds a nut once in a while. You know, that sometimes someone just stumbles in and shows up at your church. And the reality is that for most churches, if they kept the vast majority of their first-time visitors, they'd actually be growing. It may not be fast growth, but it'd be some growth.
If you had one visitor a year, you'd have 10 new people, 10 more in 10 years.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, and if you had one a month, you have 12 a year.
Wow.
You
know, yeah. And 120 in 10 years.
Yeah, exactly. So, here's the deal, folks. And that's without even trying.
Right.
So long as you're hanging on to it. And I can't tell you how many pastors, and you've heard this from pastors over the years, say to you, you know, if people would just stay, we would be a good size. We'd have enough for a youth group and children's ministry and a choir, whatever.
We've spent and we've been privy to conversations about why people don't stay, right? I mean, people will go, well, we're not this, we're not that, or we didn't have that, or
we didn't have that.
Right. And they went up to the street to that other church because that church has this, that church, but really they are a bad church anyway. Ways, but we don't talk about, wow, what you could be doing to hold on to those visitors, to get comebacks.
In every church that I've ever worked with, that's not true, actually, one church I had that an exception.
Broke the norm.
Yeah, but almost every church, except for that one, thinks and claims to be a very friendly church.
Yeah.
You know, we're the friendliest church in town. Well, that's probably not true because there's only one friendliest church per town. And the chance of you being it might be true. But here's the deal. You can tell really quickly whether your church is as friendly as you think it is by looking at what is the percentage of your first-time visitors who come back. If it's less than 50%, you're probably not as friendly as you think you are.
You know, this may not even be germane, but the image came into my mind of doing a consultation. We were there together, and everybody in this fellowship hall-y kind of area is talking, and there was this one young woman sitting in a chair by herself, and they were so friendly and so taken by one another's conversation, and some of those people they were talking to, I think some of them may have been guests. But they weren't so friendly that they found the one. It's like the little lost sheep, right? Who was sitting there by herself.
Right. And here's the truth. Is that when everyone is responsible for hospitality, nobody's responsible for hospitality. Because everyone thought that someone would do it. And someone knew that anybody can do it. But everybody knew that nobody did it.
Right. So, if somebody, I think this takes us to our first point in a way, right? And so I'll come into it sideways with thinking about this young woman at that church sitting there by herself. And I have this piece, that I can't stand if nobody's greeting at the doors or nobody's talking to people because I think they're in church or they've come to church and Lord have mercy, we need to be church for them, So that woman, I went over and spoke with her and sat down and learned some things about her and then was able to introduce her to somebody that I recognized from that consultation. So anyways, that does bring us into number one, and that is you have to have a conversation. If you want people to come back, you have to have a conversation with them.
You know, one of the things that I've heard you say for several years is how much you would think you would enjoy being a Walmart greeter.
Oh, I do. I aspire to be a Walmart greeter.
Okay, so here's the deal. And then just, I want you to think, most of you, I presume, have been to a Walmart sometime. And someone at that Walmart was standing at the door, and they said something like, good morning, good afternoon, welcome to Walmart. Now, when that happened, did you feel warm and fuzzy? Did you feel like, oh, they care about me? Yeah, of course you don't. You know, because it's nice, don't get me wrong, but, you know, hi, welcome to Walmart.
Right, yeah, you know, I get what you're saying,
And so when someone comes to your church and says, hi, good morning, welcome to First Church, here's a bulletin, go sit down. Okay, well,
that's
you
no
don't
conversation.
Say, that's not, but yeah, right, the key is that's not a conversation, even if it's said with a smile and all the rest, because welcome to Walmart, welcome to First Church is not a conversation.
So I do want to build a kind of a bridge there, because you know this too about me and Walmart, right? And the greeters. So we go in and the greeters so often don't greet you.
At all.
Right. And so I go out of my way to greet them.
Right.
But to say, how are you doing? Because I remember Dick Ham, he was general minister and president for Disciples of Christ for a number of years. And Dick said, you know, have you ever gone through a conference hall and you see people going, hi, how are you? Oh, hi, how are you? I mean, it's kind of, that's what we do in church. With people, right? You're looking for that person, but hi, how are you? Hi, how are you? And you know, it's and that stopping.
You're like a hummingbird that goes from feeder to feeder, feeder, flower to flower, flower.
Yeah, you know, or a ping pong ball, right? Exactly. You're just vipping back and forth. So at Walmart, there's that sense. But there are those who will stop and say, you know, how are you? How's your day going? And they take the time when someone says, you know, it really sucks. Then you, or they go, it's okay. And then you return with that question, oh, it doesn't look okay. You know, something like that, that you begin to have conversation. So then you can go deeper. But that's also about evangelism. I know we got to get back to having conversation.
Right. And we teach this on every church we've ever gone to. We've taught this, that there's a three-step conversation to have, that to help train your people, train yourself on how to have a conversation. This is critically important, and it's really, really easy.
Very.
Okay, so first thing is, hi, I'm Bill, I don't think we've met.
I'm Chris.
Oh, there you are. So now I just got her name, all right? Right there. And we've already made a connection, so that's the first bit. So the next question is, hey, are you a visitor? Oh, no, wait a minute, that's not the question. You know, say, exactly. So, how long have you been coming here?
Wow, actually, this is like my second Sunday.
Awesome. Boy, so glad. I can't believe I didn't say hi to you last week. I don't remember saying it.
Did I
say
hi to you? I don't remember seeing you. All right, like, okay, good. I was just so overwhelmed, okay, right?
So not are you a visitor,
right?
But how long have you been coming here? That saves you the embarrassment of the person who hasn't been there for 20 years and was, though, baptized as a 10-year-old and can't believe you don't remember them.
But I can hear what some of y'all are saying out there, and that's, but what if they come every Sunday and they're members?
Oh, yeah.
And what's going to happen, right? And then I just say, oh my gosh, like my brain doesn't work, or oh my gosh, I think my glasses need to be exchanged. You know, I'll say it all the time. Good night. I just don't always remember names and faces. So if I ask you again, or maybe two or three times, you have permission to kick me. You know, I try, I take, I don't know. That's because
well,
I
you
hate
just got their
remembering.
Name, so that's not working. In
right.
That. Okay, you just
but,
got their
but
name.
Then but then I'm able to say, oh my gosh, I didn't remember that. Or sometimes I play, you know, we've met like lots of times and it's like, whoa, I wonder where I was. Thank you for jogging my memory.
Yeah. And so if you think you've seen them before and you don't remember the name, same thing. Hi, I'm Bill. I can't remember your name.
Yes.
I know we've met. And that works really well. And you know, they didn't remember your name until you said, hi, I'm Bill,
right.
Or whatever.
Oh, I had a kid ask me that today, or I asked him, he was going down the street, and I said, I see you all the time, but I can't remember your name. And he looks and he goes, oh, I'm Carlos. And I said, hi, Carlos. It's so good to learn your name or be reminded of your name. And he goes, yeah, could you remind me of yours? And I said, instead of saying Dr. TB, I said, Chris. I said, wait, that's not who I am. Yeah. So, but see, you can do that, and you can do it somewhat lightly. And I've only, honestly, I've only had one person be really ugly to me when I asked them. I was young in ministry, and I said, wow, I just, thank you for being here Sunday. It's so good. I hope you'll come back. And they said, I've been a member here for 25 years. And I said, wow. Well, you know, never mind that I hadn't seen him in the year I'd been there. To be able, right? Yeah, but to then be able, you can backtrack. So just practice that.
So number one, I am. Number two is, how long have you been coming here? You know, and because that way, if someone's been there for a while, they'll tell you, sure, I've been here for 25 years. Really awesome. It's obviously hasn't worn off on you very much. You're not picking anything up here. Okay, never mind. The third question, or the third part of the three-part waltz, I call it, and that is, so what keeps you busy during the week? And you ask that question instead of, what do you do for a living? Because we live in a world where sometimes people are unemployed for extended periods of time, and it is emasculating it's just embarrassing sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so this allows them to say what they do for a living, or say, hey, I work at McDonald's, but what I really love is I take my kids to every soccer game in town, whatever. You might find out what their passion is. So have a conversation. Here's the deal. If you and I have had that conversation, you're a first-time visitor, there's no question that when she goes home, she'll say, well, I had a conversation. They won't say I was ignored.
And I'll remember your name,
maybe
from the church, but from the church point, right? For someone, if I have that kind of a conversation with somebody, I'm going to remember their name.
Okay, right. Yeah. Right. Well, it was Bill who had that conversation.
And if you have trouble with that, because I can too, write it down. As soon as you get somewhere, write it down or give yourself a voice note or send yourself. I do that a lot. Send myself a text so I have it right there for me.
All right. So that's number one. So number two is, you got to get contact information. Here's the deal, folks, is the number one reason the first-time visitors don't come back is because of poor hospitality. Okay, that's the number one reason. Bad hospitality sends people running for the hills. But here's the deal, is people don't come back because of good hospitality. There's just an expectation that there's good hospitality. But people do come back when they're followed up with. In fact, the statistics say that over 86% is there 86% chance that 85%, sorry, that they will return if you have good follow-up. So to do that, you got to get contact information. Well, okay. So sometimes the phones go off even when you're, where were we? We're talking about,
I put my phone away, but the watch.
Yeah, they are. So here's the deal. You got to get that contact information so you can follow up. And so how do you do that? Number one, pew pads don't work. And guest books don't work. What works is connection cards or contact cards or something like that have a prayer part on the back and good information on the front. That's the first bit. Go ahead.
You got to get it into their hands, though. If you are still using a bulletin or some kind of a worship folder or something.
Or you're sticking it into the back of the pews and the pew racks.
Yeah, or the chairs or something. No. And no, you've got to put it into their hands. And you've got to, you need to follow up at some point. So you know, when people are leaving, grabbing them, did you fill that out? Did you, I'm going to add with this. My favorite ploy to get people's information is that if they'll give you their information, that you'll make a donation, a contribution to a local ministry, to
the food pantry,
clothes closet, of your community is. To your youth group.
So let me hijack what you said. Get them in their hand. Right. Absolutely. And then make a big deal of them during the service. In fact,
of the people, but of the...
No, of the cards, right.
Right,
so, and I even tell, I work with pastors and churches about having a good flow of worship. And what I say is you have a good flow of worship until the connection cards. Then you stop the service for all practical purposes and say, listen, everyone get your contact cards out. Yeah, great, awesome. You know, those of you who are members, there's people that we're praying for. And I know you have people that you need to pray for. So I want you to remind you that everyone should have at least one or two people that are praying for and to make sure you have those. And if you have updated information, get that. And if you're a first-time visitor, we want to invite you to fill that out, fill it out completely, and we will give $10, $15, $5, whatever, to the local food pantry or whatever. And I can tell you, I know a pastor who is getting 100% of his contact cards filled out every single week by every single person. You know how he does it? Every month, they have a door prize. they get a basket of goodies and they put it up and put it up front so everyone can see it. And they say, you know, at the end of the month, everyone who's filled out a connection card, they are that we after we've got the information, we drop them into the our bucket, whatever, and we draw one out every month. So you have an opportunity to get this gorgeous basket. He gets 100%.
I love that.
That's a smart deal.
Well, I love that. When we're off air, I need you to tell me who that is. That's just amazing.
Anyway, it is amazing. Okay. So get the contact information so that
you can follow up. You've got to follow up. And just that first week on Sunday, you visit them. Pastor, you visit them. If you've been doing ministry for any amount of time, you were taught a number of years ago, you need to do the follow-up visit that Sunday or Monday, and it needs to be somebody from the church. We taught that stuff.
Right.
We taught it.
Absolutely.
But
it changed about
15 years ago. So if you've been in ministry for a long time or someone's taught you their bad habits.
Or you've been following us for a long time.
Or you've been trying a lot of excuses. You need to be the one who does it. It says, wow, we noticed you and this matters to us. You matter to us. Right? I've taken the time out of my busy afternoon. So you do a follow-up visit. It's just a stop by, drop by. You don't go in the house. You say hi, glad you're here, and you leave something of note for them. We've done that episode, I think, before. Follow up and do another one about what that visit looks like. On Monday, you send them a personal note written.
Not this way.
No, a handwritten note.
That's right.
Tuesday, make sure they get the newsletter or whatever means of communication that you use there in your church. On Thursday, send them an introductory email.
That's a long email that says, hey, this is who we are. This is our ministry. This is what we're about. Here's our staff. Here's the things that are going on. And you write this one time and you save it so that you can reuse it. The reality is no one is going to read that at the first time they get it.
Right.
They'll save it. And they'll be able to go back. Who was the pastor? Who was the youth person? They have that long email that they can go and find and get that information. It's a great way of introducing the church.
Okay, now, so even if you're a small church, you can do that. And quite honestly, I hate the word should, as you know, but you should be doing that. And then Saturday, you're going to send a text. So you're in person visiting on Sunday. On Monday, you're sending a personalized note. On Tuesday, you're sending a newsletter or something like a newsletter. Thursday, sending that intro email. And Saturday, you're sending the text. How do you get all of that information?
From
your contact card.
Exactly right.
Yay.
You make a big deal of it.
Big deal.
If you don't, they won't fill it out, folks. And that's the bottom line is be like the pastor, Pastor Doug, actually. Be like Pastor Doug, who does whatever it takes to get that contact information, because he knows he's in a tiny little town and he has to keep his first-time visitors, and he keeps 75% of them because of the way he follows up. All right. The last one
you use that word, magic word for four is?
What's that?
Follow-up.
Follow-up, okay?
You said it.
And so here's the deal. I want to just touch on this. Normally, we talk about the one-week press. You know, the most important Sunday in a visitor's life, when it comes to church, is the second Sunday. We always think it's the first Sunday.
Yeah.
But here's the deal. If they don't come back the second Sunday, that is not. So the second Sunday is the most important. So do whatever it takes to get them there the second Sunday. But after that first week, so often we do nothing. So I will just share another one of our clients is Pastor Leyland. We talked about Pastor Doug.
Yeah, we've talked about
Leyland
before.
And Pastor Leyland, they did an event and they got 650 household contact information. And he leveraged that list by doing ongoing follow-up so that just a couple weeks ago, he did 22 baptisms. He's taken in a slew of new members because he continues to follow up. So here's what follow up looks like after that first week. Every time you have a new sermon series coming up, you make sure you let everyone on your list know that that's coming up. You tell them about what are the benefits, what are they going to get out of this by coming to it. You're going to learn how to have a stronger marriage. You're going to learn how to have better behaved kids, or you're going to learn how to find the meaning for life when you have an empty nest.
I want to bring this back again, that we're talking personalized, letting them know, right? I mean, it's preferably even a handwritten note or a card or something, but it's not using just Facebook. It's not just doing a Twitter or whatever, a tweet.
Right.
It's really
showing
there.
Up in their inbox,
saying,
or text somewhere.
Right, somewhere.
Right.
Okay.
All right. And so
all right, go.
For every sermon series, for every event you have going on, yeah. especially those that match that target audience, you make sure you let them know. Again, email, text. And then here's what I like for the person. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. I wanted to say one more thing about the every event.
Go for
Were
it.
You there?
Yeah. No, yep.
Right. Okay. So depending on the event, one of the things I love to do is to bring people in my church around. And so especially for something like Christmas or Thanksgiving, and like at Christmas, we bring Christmas cards. I have them bring Christmas cards and with their address book and say, who do you want to see here? And then we've got the names of the guests. And we follow up that way. We always recognize people who've, the family of those who've passed away on November 1st. And I know we're doing this in March, right? But just thinking ahead,
right,
and then
absolutely.
By that, you for a funeral, you get all kinds of guests. It's the way to say, hey, we're going to be remembering that loved one, and there's that information. I don't know. There's so many fun things you can do. There used to be years.
Fun and meaningful.
And meaningful, right. Yeah. A handwritten note, but you, pastor or chair of evangelism membership, whoever you are watching this, you don't have to do this. Invite the people from the church. Yep. Well, yeah, thank you. That's a good point. Be a model. Please do it with your people.
Right.
And I can't tell you enough, handwrite it and pay for the stamps.
All right. So pay for the stamps, a real stamp, not metered stamps.
Registering
a meter, a real stamp.
Like a bulk thing?
Yeah, right. Don't do the bulk thing.
Yeah.
And don't even do the run through your meter.
Yeah, you know? I didn't know. I've never used a meter, so.
Right, but a real stamp. And I'll be honest with you, people buy the rolls of stamps. Those are fun. They're nice, whatever. They're U.S. stamps with the flags on them. There's nothing wrong.
There are cool ones.
But there are cool ones. Get cool ones. They don't come in rolls, though. They come on sheets. That being the case, last thing I want to say, and I'm following up, and you sort of stole this, but you're right, is every 30 days for the 30, 60, 90 days, send a personal note. A reminder, hey, I remember you were here back in April or whatever. Glad that, it was good to meet you and hope that things are going well with you. And, just send one to every first-time visitor who has not returned.
Yes.
And you send it every 30 days, you send a handwritten card for the 90 days. And then Bill Isom, the founder of their company, he suggested that after 90 days, you just keep them on the email, you keep them on, again, the every sermon series, every event, and you keep them on your newsletter list until they ask to be taken off or until they ask that they don't want to receive your stuff anymore. Keep at it because you never know. Think, again, like Pastor Leyland, who is still getting people from 9 months ago showing up to church because he keeps following up with that same list.
Okay, one last piece about that 30, 60, 90 day notes.
Right.
But put it in your calendar. If you use a Google calendar or some other calendar that's electronic, you can put them on repeats. You can put
a task whatever,
right up there. I ignore tasks. So because I block it out on my calendar. And then I use both paper and electronic. And so I take post-it notes and put it on a post-it note, stick it up there so that I'm able to see it. But do that today for those you saw last Sunday.
I know this seems like a lot of work, okay? But for so many churches that are still struggling with trying to grow, trying to recoup from COVID, et cetera, folks, this stuff works, okay? People will come back if they feel like that if the church cares about them, is interested in them, reaches out. It's a great way. Follow-up is key. Visitor Retention 101, 4 tips. This will help you. We're out of time.
We are so out of time.
We'll see you next week.
Have a great week. Bye-bye.